I'd ask you to please turn with me this evening to the Word of God in the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 6. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 6. And we're going to read from verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to consider in a short series of studies the Lord's teaching here on prayer. This is a pattern for prayer. There are principles for prayer here that the Lord gives us, and it is given here by the Lord Jesus for the benefit of Christian believers. We note on verse 9, it begins with Our Father, Our Father. And so the first point that the Lord Jesus is teaching us here is to pray to Our Father in heaven with reverence and humility as a person. It is Our Father. But as a person, always remembering that prayer is in the context of being a member of His family. And it is both personal, Our Father, and in partnership, Our Father in heaven. It is personal to us as Our Father, as we are adopted into the family of God, but also we remind ourselves that we are just one of a member of God's family praying and following this pattern. We have a Father in heaven. It's Our Father. Our Father as an individual, but also Our Father as a church. Our Father in heaven. And so we could look at the pattern for prayer the Lord Jesus has given us here, both as an individual and collectively as the Lord's people together. Our Father. Now, we know that God is the Father of all mankind in a creative sense. We mentioned this on Sunday morning. God is the Father of all mankind in a creative sense. The sun shines on the believer and the unbeliever, the thankful and the unthankful. The harvest is a benefit for both the believer and the unbeliever. So in this sense, we have our Father in heaven, who is a creative, heavenly Father, who is good to all mankind. All humanity experience the goodness of God the Father in creation in some measure. However, and this is very important for us, in terms of the relationship, God is the Father of His children in a special and unique sense. Those truly converted, only those can truly say, Abba Father. Only as we have the work of the Holy Spirit within us, having been born again by the Holy Spirit, adopted into the family of God, saved by God's grace, can we truly say, Our Father, Abba Father. And so we know that as we consider this pattern for prayer for the Lord's people, we have this wonderful privilege to pray to our Father in heaven. And of course, if we are praying to our Father in heaven with a true spirit of prayer, we are told by the Lord Jesus that no man can come to the Father except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. So true prayer is for the Lord's people, those truly trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and having the sovereign work of the Father within their lives. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So the God, sovereign God, our Heavenly Father, draws us initially to the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of his Spirit, the Spirit of God. And as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to the Father through God the Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And then we also are reminded, as God is in heaven as our Father, of his special love towards his people. 1 John 3 verse 1 says to us, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Oh, what manner of love. This is amazing love. This is wonderful love. This is merciful love. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. And then addressing God as our Father in heaven is a privilege, as I said, reserved only for born again believers. John says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Children of God. Received. Those that truly believe in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, are accepted in the Beloved, are received. There's a double receiving in a sense here. That we by faith receive the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father receives us in Christ as children of God, to those that believe in his name. Well, this is a prayer then for Christian believers. And only Christian believers can properly address God as their Father in heaven, in a spiritual sense. Remember, Jesus here was teaching his disciples, as believers, how to pray. And we read in Luke 11:1, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So we pray to God, our Heavenly Father, as children adopted into his family, and as adopted children we enjoy the privileges of being sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. We're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. And the first thing I want us to see is the respect we need for this wonderful privilege of having a Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. All the Lord's people have a Father, the same Father, a Father that loves them each individually and yet impartially, without partiality. We're loved with an everlasting love. We are secure in God's love. We love God because he first loved us. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? To think that God should first love us. I find that an amazing thought, that God should first love us. So, our Father in heaven. Now, God is eternal. God has always been. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have always been. And the first person of the Trinity is referred to as our Father. And so, the fatherhood, the principle of a fatherhood, comes from God. Comes from God. The Apostle Paul speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ in this way. He said, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And so the origin of the Father, the origin of fatherhood comes from God. It's an eternal pattern, it's an eternal reality, fatherhood. This is important for us this evening because naturally we have a tendency to derive our understanding of God as our Father from our experience of a human father. And this is quite natural, it's quite understandable, but in and of itself this is not a spiritual exercise. It is a natural tendency. Because some of us have been blessed with kind and even godly fathers, but some of you have had the opposite experience. You may well have had a kind father who's not a believer, or you may have had a father who is a believer, professing believer, but is not kind. That is possible. And so our concept of father can be somewhat stained or spoiled, we might say. And the concept of father can actually raise negative emotions in our mind. So what to do? We must look even beyond human relationships to consider our Father in heaven as perfect. We can have patterns given here upon earth by God in his providential goodness to give us a glimpse of what our Father in heaven is like. But we need to come to God's word to know something of the Father, to magnify the attributes of the Father in our mind. And we must consider our Father as eternally reigning in glory. So as we come to our Father in heaven, he is in heaven. He is reigning in glory. He is in majesty in heaven. He is on the throne. And faith believes it and revels in it and is comforted by it and assured by it. Let us encourage ourselves then with what the Word of God tells us about our perfect Father in heaven. Well, one of the ways that we know about our Father in heaven is through Jesus. Jesus said, "He who sees me sees the Father." There is a perfect pattern of our Father in heaven in the testimony of the Lord Jesus. So if we want to know something of the testimony of our Father in heaven, then as we look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is given us a testimony as a perfect man here upon earth of some of the characteristics of our Father in heaven. How loving Jesus was, how patient he was, and yet how righteous he was. He is, I'm talking about while he was here upon earth. He was patient, he was wise, he was merciful, he was compassionate, he was kind, he was loving, he was perfect, and all these characteristics of our wonderful Savior are pointing us to something of the character and the nature of our Father in heaven. But in addition to this, we have scriptures given to us to help us in our mind to by faith grow in our admiration of our Father in heaven. There are many references to the character and work of God, our Heavenly Father. I just want to consider in conclusion this evening some of these references. The first reference I would turn you to comfort you and to assure you as you come to our Father in heaven is 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, the second letter of Paul to Corinthians, and we find that in chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. The origin of mercy, the Father of all mercy, and the God of all comfort. Well, do we often think about our Father in heaven like this, that he is a Father of mercies and he's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And as faith contemplates the fatherhood of God, and by faith prays our Father, and in our mind by faith we contemplate something of the wonderful character of God, scripturally and biblically we come to him as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. What an encouragement to prayer this is. And then we come to our Father as the giver of every good and perfect thing. Well, we know this is true because John tells us in his first letter, 1 John 4:14, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Well, we couldn't get a better person to give than the Lord Jesus Christ to be given to us. And where has he come from? Who has sent the Son to this world? The Father. So, as we contemplate this wonderful thought, we consider the amazing generosity of God, the amazing gift of God, that he was willing to give his only beloved Son to save unworthy sinners like me and like you. The Father, our Father, is the giver of good things. Well, Jesus was saying and reasoning this in Matthew chapter 7, if you were look at the words of the Lord Jesus about his heavenly Father and our Father in heaven. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, if you then, or maybe we can go back a bit further, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who seeks asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Good things. Well, we know another good thing the Father has given is the Holy Spirit. And this is mentioned elsewhere in another gospel, how in the context of these verses, the Father will give the Holy Spirit. So he not only gives the Son, he gives the Spirit coming through the Son. Jesus said, when I go back, I will send the Comforter. And so we see these gifts coming from God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so we must think of our Father as the Father of mercies. He is the Father of all comfort. He is the giver of all good things. And what else has the Father given us? Well, we know we have the Son, the Holy Spirit. But then Jesus said, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's a marvelous gift to give his Son. It's a marvelous, wonderful truth to have the Holy Spirit working among us. But that's not all. this Father, our Father in heaven, will give us his kingdom. In other words, he saves us by grace, adopts us into the family, and we come into his kingdom. And we enjoy the benefits and the fruits and the blessings of his kingdom. And it's an eternal kingdom. For us here upon earth, it is a spiritual kingdom we enjoy. Love, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. The blessings spiritually of being one of God's children. But our Father in heaven is the sovereign instigator of all things. So as we come to our Father in heaven, we're going to the very source of blessing and good gifts through Jesus Christ. I remind you of what Jesus said in John 6:44, no one can come to me, unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No one can come even to the Lord Jesus unless the Father in his sovereign grace is behind that coming, the sovereignty of the Father. No one can even come to the Lord Jesus unless the Father who sent me draws him. And how does the Father draw us? By his Holy Spirit. So the triune God is at work in the whole way of salvation. This is why we do not agree with the doctrine of so-called Arminianism, where they say it's in the power of your will to come. You don't need the influence of the Holy Spirit in regeneration on your will. You can make that decision by the will, as the natural will. You can make that decision to come to the Lord Jesus Christ without the enabling of the Holy Spirit on the will. So it becomes your decision, your choice, your move, and you become, and you in your mind, you think, I'm part of this. I came to the Lord Jesus. I decided for Christ. I gave my life to Jesus. Well, all these things, actually, in and of themselves, these statements, are true as long as we understand that when we receive Jesus into our heart and we gave our life, as it were, consecrated to the Lord, our whole being to the Lord, we understand that God, in the secret purposes of his eternal counsel, the Father, was working upon our being by the power of his Holy Spirit in the secret place to enable us to make that right choice, to enable us to come, because we have to be drawn. We can't come by our own natural strength and tendency. We have to have God's grace working in our life. And so Jesus teaches us this. No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And then Jesus goes teaches further on this in Matthew 11:25. He says, he prays to his Father in a most remarkable prayer in Matthew 11:25. He said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, those that think that they can follow God in their own natural strength and their own will and their own mind in and of themselves, but you've revealed them to babes. And those that come and recognize, Lord, help me, Lord, save me, Lord, keep me, Lord, have mercy upon me. I come in absolute dependence upon the Lord. Oh, as we come in such a way, it's a testimony that God has revealed the gospel to us. And then we read about the Father being not only the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, the giver of every good thing and perfect thing. He is the sovereign instigator,
Yes,
and I want to repeat this. We do, by faith, we do choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but God's behind the choice. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not we choose and then God comes in after we've chosen. We choose, we love him because he first loved us. Now these are what we call the eternal decrees and counsels of God, and they are beyond our comprehension, naturally speaking, but nevertheless Scripture teaches us to give all the glory to God. All the glory unto God. We are saved by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, by the Scripture, and to God be the glory. I'm looking up the Reformation points. They're on the board there. And in any case, finally this evening, our Father is the all-knowing one. The all-knowing one. If you turn with me to 1 Peter 1:2, 1 Peter 1:2. Peter chapter 1, verse 2. So Peter's writing to believers here. He's writing to the Lord's people. They are pilgrims. They are on a journey. They are pilgrims of a dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. They have been persecuted. They've been scattered. And Peter is writing to these people. And he says, first of all, the first thing he says to them, as he refers to them personally, after not only pilgrims, they are pilgrims on a journey, but they are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who are according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, this doctrine of God's sovereignty is actually a cause for a remarkable assurance in our life, because if God begins the work, God will keep us. But if salvation is part dependent upon God and part dependent upon our natural will, then our security remains within ourselves. But if we go to God's word and we look at God's grace and God's sovereignty and God's wonder in his love toward needy sinners, as the instigator, we are kept by the power of God through faith. We are a kept people. And when we're struggling, when we're in struggling and temptation, like Paul described in Romans 7, and we are crying out to God to give us the strength to put aside those things which so easily beset us, we need God's help and strength to be disciplined in the Christian life, and we know that we depend upon God to keep us. We are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. And so, just a few thoughts then this evening about the fatherhood of God. They are just really, it's just really paddling in the sea, really, about the wonder of God, our Father in heaven. But when we think about the Lord's Prayer, when we think about this pattern for prayer, it's very important that we begin where Jesus begins, and we begin with our Father in heaven here, as the pattern is given to us, and we have the highest views of our Father, which is in heaven. He's reigning in glory and in majesty, and yet he condescends to hear our prayers through the great high priest intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ, and as enabled by the Holy Spirit, he hears the prayers of his children. And finally, just one reference in this Bible study in Revelation 3, verse 21. Please turn with me to these profound words of the Lord Jesus. In Revelation 3, verse 20, this is the promise of the Lord Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So Jesus is writing to a church here. And we're talking here about fellowship with the Lord Jesus. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. I'm coming to realize more and more that one of the greatest needs for the church is to understand what it means to dine with the Lord Jesus, to fellowship with the Lord Jesus, to feed from the gospel table, to know him and the power of his resurrection, to walk with Jesus, to know him as a person in our lives. We will not know revival until we understand our need of knowing the Lord Jesus. We won't know the Father unless we respect our need to know the Lord Jesus, because we come to the Father through God the Son. And Jesus says to us, as we respect this wonderful privilege to dine with the Lord Jesus in fellowship, to him who overcomes through me, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as also I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So here we are promised a most wonderful fellowship in heaven. Fellowship with the Son and with the Father. Fellowship with the Father on the throne, with his Son. I will grant to sit with me on my throne. And where is Jesus sitting? He's sitting with his Father on his throne. And so the Lord Jesus is speaking here about this wonderful fellowship in heaven. Fellowship with God. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So here we have the triune God, the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our Father, which art in heaven. This is our thought this evening. Just a few devotional thoughts then about this pattern the Lord has given us, and we'll work our way through this prayer, and I hope that it will bring an even greater depth into our minds about the wonder of this pattern the Lord Jesus has given us for prayer.